broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, in the house, ready to rock it today.
Ready to rock. Just like the one-armed drummer from Def Leppard, I'm ready to rock.
Oh, man. Matt pulled out a pre-show conversation right off the bat. Man, see, it's kind of sacred ground. You know, you're talking to your co-host. You're like, hey, what are you doing? And
I stole that. I stole it pretty much.
You just freaking just came out of the gate and told everybody what we're talking about. If you didn't know, you know, Def Leppard is opening for Journey around the country this summer, fall. And I'm looking for tickets. Def Leppard. Yeah. So I'm
filling up for that too, but I'm also filling up for another amazing hour of Refresher Wealth.
Yeah, there you go.
Because we are going to rock it here.
Bring it back
as well.
Bring it back
as well.
I like it. Some of you are like, I just lost all confidence in Mark Kohler. He's a dead man. Whatever. Hey, I grew up in the 80s. So don't hate me. It's just the way it is. Well, we've got a great show today. We are talking about real estate professional strategies, and we have been in the real estate industry for 20 years as investors ourselves. We both own rental property, commercial and residential. I wouldn't say we're real estate tycoons. We're not, but we own real estate. We've helped both of our families. I know Matt's family owns real estate. My family does. That's my dad retired on real estate. And we've helped countless flippers, realtors. Yeah, who else? I mean, who's that?
Developers, contractors, people with hundreds and thousands of doors, so to speak, to someone with just one single family rental, you know. But we have lots of people who just, and you know, you could be a real estate agent, broker. We want to kind of address everyone in real estate.
Yeah.
Talk about the tax strategies, the legal strategies, what entities should I be using when, what are some of the tax things I need to know, some of the pitfalls people make, what do people screw up and do wrong.
Yeah,
we got some questions we're going to try and field that we've kind of primed for the show today. So we'll try and hit some of those also.
Yeah.
It's going to be real, guys.
All around show. And you know what? I'm going to just say it right now. Two things. First, everybody back off on your territorial opinion. Some of you that are realtors that hate the fix and flip industry, or those that are out there beating the pavement on the corners with their signs. Another of you that hate realtors because they, you know, follow these rules on the REPSI, or some of you that are, you know, rental only, or I don't like rentals, I only loan, or I only do hard money, or hey, you know what? It's all cool. There's enough toys on the playground. We can all get around, do what we, some of you like the jungle gym, some of you like the swing set, some of you like that thing that spins around. We were at a family reunion a month ago. We're at this old school park, Matt. You would have loved this. There's an old school park. It's like they haven't put anything new in this park in like 80 years. Mm-hmm. And it's got like all the old equipment, like the slide that's like 19 feet tall, like on a 45 degree angle, metal, sharp edges. You know, you're just waiting for some kid to slice and it comes down that thing at like 50 miles an hour, catapults his spine into this pile of dirt. And then there's that spinny round thing that some teenagers just spin around and kids are just on there holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
And you ride on that thing and your kids are vomiting off the edge, flying off in all directions. I'm like, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Oh, man. Only these family.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere with that. That was it?
Well, I'm just saying. There's a lot of different. Okay, I'm just. This show sometimes goes nowhere, man. It just doesn't go anywhere. The point is, in the real estate, okay, here's my point. All right, back off. It's in the real estate industry, there's a lot of different.
I got it now.
You know, things going on the playground.
It was a thinker.
It was deep. Yeah. So you know, no one's got a corner on the market. But us as tax lawyers, we help clients from all these different, you know, types of playground toys, and we love it, and we love real estate. So mm-hmm. I hope we can help you, many of you. You know, we threw this out to our audience and said, what do you want to talk about, and what are some questions in this area? And like, how many rentals do I put in an LLC? You know, when do I need an S corp? What do I do about mm-hmm. a VRBO Airbnb? Ugh. I mean, we got more content than we can cover in this hour. You guys are going to love it. So
yeah. Yeah, but of course, before we get into the topic of the hour, we like to give a quick tax and legal tip. And you want to go first on that, Mark? You want to let me do the honors? I'm going to get the tax tip today.
You're going to go the tax. I've been rambling like a madman here. So, you know, people are sick of my voice already. You go for it. Right. You go tax.
Let me give a tax tip. This might be my rambling here. Let me give it.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Now, this is something I found out just recently. So this might be a little geeky, but I think it can help some of you out there.
Is this off-menu items at In-N-Out Burger?
This is kind of like, you know, page 11 at Cheesecake Factory. Not everyone gets that far.
11.
But for the one that gets there that was looking for that little...
Well, you're halfway through the menu at 11.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen that menu at Cheesecake Factory. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. It's like the polar opposite of the In-N-Out menu. You know?
Yes. Those are two extremes, Cheesecake menu. I just get a headache looking at it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Whatever. All right. Okay. So this is page 11. So this is deep in your playbook.
This is deep, but you know, some people that get there, they love that little thing they order on page 11, you know, and they found it and it's their thing. Okay. All right. So this is going to take me a second. Okay.
Build it.
We love how to save for retirement for self-employed people. And that's something we're going to talk about for a second here. When we talk about real estate professionals, how do I save for retirement? And you guys know we love to self-direct and how you can invest retirement plans into real estate as an investment strategy. Because if you're a real estate professional, why would you be buying stocks and bonds? You don't know crap about that stuff. Why not invest in the things that you know, okay? Yeah. LeBron James doesn't freaking play ping pong for money, okay? He plays what he's good at. Do the same with your money. All right.
All right. Point one. Well taken. Okay,
that's point one. Yeah. Now, a lot of times we say, if you're self-employed, use a solo 401k. Self-employed, no employees. Use a solo 401k, and we love the solo 401k. You can throw a lot of money into it, self-direct it, self-trustee it, really cool strategy.
Okay.
Now we say do that instead of a SEP IRA. That's another option you have as a self-employed person. But let me give you one instance, and there's a couple, but let me give you one instance of when you would actually use a SEP IRA over a solo K.
Okay.
All right. This is the tip right now.
Okay, all right.
That was the build up.
Okay, I'm feeling it. I just want to make sure I'm there.
Okay, all right. Guys, okay, thanks for that confirmation. I wondered if I lost anybody. I think someone's still back there thinking what they order at Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, back up. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So when to use the SEP IRA instead of a solo 401k?
Okay.
Now, in the solo 401k rules, if you add an employee and they've worked for you for a year, you have to offer the 401k to them. What does that mean? That means you can't have a solo 401k anymore. That means you have to have a regular 401k, or maybe we call it sometimes a group 401k, where you're offering the same juicy benefits to your one employee that you do to yourself. Okay. Now on a SEP IRA, you have to do a similar thing, but only after they've worked for you for 3 years.
Ooh.
Get a bigger window. So if you're growing, let's say you're a real estate broker or agent and you hire an assistant that's worked for you for a year. And you're like, I'd really like to save in a solo 401k. Can't do it because that person's worked for you for a year. They have to be more than part-time, which is 19 hours a week. But if you, let's say they've worked for you for a year, you could still do a SEP. They haven't been there 3 years yet. So you may not qualify for the solo K, but you could still do the SEP IRA, max out contributions for you while not having to put anything in for them.
Wow.
So, cool little strategy on the SEP. Okay. I have had a client that we figured that out for just recently that could still save quite a bit of money in the SEP IRA.
All right. May I add an amendment to the gentleman's bill from the state of Arizona?
The floor is open.
Okay. I thought where you were going with this tip, because September 15th is in 2 weeks, and September 17th is actually the deadline for S corporations this year. And so I thought you were going down the path of, hey, a great way to use a SEP when there's very few, in my opinion, is to, you could throw money in a SEP still, right now, still, before September 15th, 17th, get a write-off for 2017, and then on day two, roll that bad boy into a solo 401k. That's where I thought you were going, my dear friend.
Yes, that's another strategy.
Yeah. You've
given that tax tip before, though.
Yeah, that's true. You need to go from page 7 to page 11. I get it. I get that it. You got to dig in for our listeners.
Two, probably.
Yeah.
That one's a little further up.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, our audience expects more. Some of you that are new listeners, that's why there's 300 episodes. You got to work your way through them, you know?
Yeah.
That, you can't just go to page 11, the Cheesecake Factory. You got to order from page 1. Just get used to the menu.
Then but once you've been going there, you know, you've been there enough.
Yeah, but we're talking about Cheesecake Factory. Let's get back to the playground, you know.
All right.
That thing that you could hang on and swing from. That was a good one, too. All right. Okay, so I get the – now, we're going to call this a legal tip, but it's really a business tip. In fact, I'm going to give everybody a little, you know, heads up here. This is kind of an insider tip if you're listening today and this you haven't listened in a while. We are going to come up with another amazing guitar riff for business tips. It's not just tax and legal. This show's about business. We want you blowing up your American dream, small business, and making a lot more money. So, Matt, could you do that riff for us? If I put you in a studio with your guitar, could you come up with something? Many of you may not know, Matt was in a few bands in the day.
Yeah, I was in Catch 22 in high school. That was my high school band name. Okay. Catch 22.
Nice.
Spilby Dog. God, sorry. That was my
old band. I didn't know if there was one between. I could have thrown that. I love that. Your old band.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
that was a good one. I will, let me see what I can do. I'll work on that.
Okay, if we can get you on GarageBand and you could come up with something, that'd be sweet. Okay, so this is, I'm going to give you the legal tip riff, but this is really going to be business tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right, well, here's my business tip. Now, I've been working on a book for a year and a half called The 8 Steps to Start and Grow Your Business, and it's a workbook more than just a kind of a typical read book. It's more like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. I mean, you fill this out, you're going to love it. I'll be releasing it for mass purchase soon. So close. Many of you are maybe getting it in some form or fashion on some pre-sales, but this 8 steps is really cool. And one of the first things I teach in the introduction to this book, Matt, is the concept of the 3 plans: the business plan, the strategic plan, and the marketing plan. Now, they're really, so my tip today is I'd like to explain those 3 different.
The trifecta.
The trifecta.
The trinity. The
3 plans. Now, the trinity, okay. The holy trinity of business planning. Now, this is really important. The business plan is really a one-time event. Some may say, well, how's your business plan? I don't carry around my business plan. I did it 15 years ago, 20 years ago. A business plan tells you if your business idea is a good one. It may help you raise capital. It'll help you design the structure initially to get out of the gate. But the business plan is really a one-time event. Then you can frame it, put it in the drawer, book a remembrance, whatever. But what a business plan spits out are 2 documents that will become the lifeblood and the safety net for your business operation. And that's the strategic plan and the marketing plan. When Matt and I meet on a regular basis, we pull out our strat plan. That's short for strategic plan, and our marketing plan. And I'm literally right here on my desk is my strategic plan sitting right here in front of me. I made notes on it yesterday at the kitchen table. I was at church this week. I pulled it out. I've got it by my bed at night. I carry it into every staff meeting. Matt and I sit down and do a strat plan that's 1, 3, 5, 10 years out. We look at our strategic plans for the year, and that's what you carry with you everywhere you go. And then the marketing plan, same thing. What's your marketing plan? What are you tracking? What are your critical numbers in different marketing objectives you're trying to reach? We talk about that in our staff meeting every week. We talk about it as partners. But anyway, the point is these 3 plans are very, very important. I want you to be able to build those, maintain them. Build a business plan, decide if your business is going to go forward, and then you carry with you everywhere your strat plan and marketing plan. I've got little videos on this. There's appendices in my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You, on each one of these plans. I hope you build it in the new age. I just love it.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, anything you want to add on that? You love our plans. We love planning.
I know. That's the fun part of business. It's the creative part. It's the goal setting part. It's where you sit down and you really see your business through, you know, where you can kind of take a step back and, but you got to do that. You can't just be in the trenches, not thinking big picture or looking at where you're going or resetting or analyzing things. And that's what you can do with the strategic plan and your marketing plan and why it's kind of this living document, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And I'm going to give a little shout out to my amazing partner, Matt Sorensen. The beauty of our... Yeah, I'm going to dedicate this.
Let's give a shout out to my girl, Amy. You know, she's been with me for many years.
Yeah, this is Casey Kasem coming to you.
There we go.
America's Top 40. Okay, so...
Right, go ahead. Give me a shout out.
Come on. Let me get the shout out. I want to say one of the biggest strengths in our partnership, if I had to list three or four things that really have kept my business partnership with Matt together over the years, is both of us love to plan and execute those plans.
Mm-hmm.
We take pride in going, okay, what did we do? What did we say we were going to do 3 months ago? Did we do it? Okay. If not, why? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get it back on the list. Let's do it. And it's exhilarating. I love it. And you got to have a partner, a business partner that's willing to do that. I think it's
You have to find satisfaction in that.
Yeah,
and I think so. But I'm excited for your book to come out. I mean, fifth book. I'm like a lightweight. I got like one and a half. I don't know if I can count the second edition of my first book, a second book. But ooh, man,
I know some people are like, "Why are you writing?" Like, I just got a lot to say.
You really do. And this is going to be an important one. This is so practical. I mean, if you're an existing business owner, you know, this isn't just right for starting a new business. This is analyzing what you're already doing. And I think everybody, if you don't have particularly a marketing plan and a strategic plan, it's time to get one. We have prior shows on that. Mark's going to have far more content coming out on that, obviously, too.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say one more thing. I just feel inspired to share this with people is, when you're in that zone, with or without your business partner, but you're in that zone where it's just coming to you. You know, like, man, I just see where I want to go with the business. I got this idea. It's just flowing. It may be in a meditative location that you love to go. It could be the mountains, the ocean. It could be in a grove of trees on a park bench. Wherever it is, have a writing utensil with you. Get it. I filled up a yellow pad on my last flight. It was a little longer flight. I was just like, I filled up like 30 pages on a yellow pad. Oh, idea. Yeah. And then I was just like, man, that was just like a stream of consciousness. But, and I shared a lot of those thoughts with Matt on kind of some things. And so anyway, guys, just when you have that, don't lose those times. Those are so important as a business owner. When you get that vision of the big picture, write it down. You'll forget it. So,
yeah. That's the magic, man.
It is. Okay.
All right.
Strategic partnerships, man. What's one of the first questions we got a bunch of questions from our audience on this topic, real estate professional strategies. What do you got? You come out of the gate. Lead us out.
All right. This is a common question that comes up. And this is Chuck asked the question, what is the right entity for doing real estate? And, you know, do I set up an S corporation, an LLC, C corporation? There's so much that goes into that. So, let's just hit a couple points on that. We got to talk obviously about entity structuring.
Yep.
And I think let's break it down though, if we could.
Yeah. We'll get into the 11th page of this.
Yeah.
Later, but let's just get the basics out for everybody.
Let's get big picture. As a general rule, you're not going to use a C corporation. Don't think about it. It's not on your radar. You're not going to be a publicly traded company. You're not trying to do some crazy asset protection scam that doesn't work. You're going to pay $20,000 for some headquarters place. That's just a bunch of nonsense, okay? You're going to use one of two entities, an S corporation or an LLC. And it depends on what you're doing. And we'll get into that through the show today, but that's all you're thinking. You're only thinking S corp and LLC. And Mark, I don't know how far you want to take this right now.
Yeah, I think what Matt and I really were pioneers in 10, 15 years ago is the left side, right side mentality. We got on whiteboards across the country and how many workshops, I can't even count,
Mark did it and I copied him, but keep going. I appreciate you giving me some credit there.
I learned a lot from you. No, it was good. But we walk up to a whiteboard and we put a line right down the middle. Operations on the left, holdings on the right. And if you're on a phone call with one of our tax attorneys, they're going to build a diagram for you and put together your plan for the next year or 3 years and just say, okay, what's on the left, what's on the right? Now, for those of you that have a day job and you're just buying rentals, you're going to focus on the right side. It's going to be LLCs. And we'll talk. I've got a couple of questions here from some folks in Texas. They asked about that. We'll go over there. We're going to talk about how many LLCs for your rentals, blah, blah, blah. We'll come to that. But rentals on the right, then on the left is your operations. So whether you're flipping properties, you're a broker, you're a realtor, you're a professional property manager, that's going to be ordinary income. And if you're making more than 40 or 50 grand a year, you're going to need to funnel it through an S corp.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. That's basically phase one. And I want to just say, there's a lot of thinking into why to do that. It's not just because it's clean on a whiteboard, guys. There's really a lot going on in why we want that left side, right side. Okay. I don't want one company owning the other. Your S corp doesn't own your LLC, your LLC owning your S corp in this. Okay. This is left side, right side for two reasons. One, rental income is taxed differently than your operating income. If you're getting commissions, maybe you're a real estate agent or you're some professional getting consulting services, or you know, you have a day business, that's taxed differently than your rental income is. So we want to separate those types of income. Also, we want to protect assets. I don't want your rental properties that are assets that gain equity and value over time to be tied up in a business that you're running operations out of. I don't want those entities connected at all. We want to separate them out. So if something goes wrong in your operational business, it doesn't affect and corrupt all the assets in your LLC holding rentals. So there's a couple of reasons we're doing that. It's not just because it looks nice and clean on a whiteboard. It's we're separating out tax and legal issues and putting them in the right spot.
Yep. I love it. Now
optimizing.
Okay. Now we're going to start bringing up these questions that have come in from around the country and jump around a little bit now. Let's beat that up. So this is from Eric with a K out of Miami. He's down in Florida. And he says, Mark, I'm a realtor. Is it really true I can't take advantage of the new 199A pass-through deduction?
Ooh.
Now, on your operation.
This is the summer, the new summer menu at a Cheesecake Factory. This is new.
Yeah, this is good. Wendy's brings out their strawberry salad, you know, in the summer. This is it. Okay. So this is important, everybody, on the operations side, and this is actually on the real estate holding side too. If you have earned income, there's this new 199A pass-through deduction where you can take a 20% calculation off the net at the bottom, and it becomes this write-off. I mean, it's just huge. So if you net 100 grand, you're now only taxed on 80,000. You get this 20% deduction.
Thank you, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. Spearheaded this bad boy. So a few congressmen signed along, something along that line.
That's true.
But,
that's true. Yeah,
but whatever, Matt. I mean, go ahead and give him some credit. All right. So now this 20% deduction, for any of you out there that are realtors, you're going to get that 20% deduction, but only up to a point. And this is when it starts to get ugly. And I don't have the I'm literally across from my office. I can see overhang on the window shelf. I've kept it the 516 page GOP bill called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It's right over there. I'm not going to walk across the room and get it, but around 200 grand if you're single and around 400 grand if you're married, that disappears if you're a realtor. So if you're really successful as a realtor or broker, you're going to phase out of that 20% pass-through deduction. But you're going to get it up to, you know, if you're married and you're making 300K as a realtor, enjoy the ride. It's going to work out great. Single, it'll phase out a little sooner. But here's the sad part. Realtors, that's because it's broker professional services. Fix and flippers, no cap. No cap on that. So
any of your contractors or developers too.
Yeah.
You guys are all in on this. You could be making $1 million and getting a $200,000 deduction.
Yes. Now this is all new this year. Now this is tricky because We've even done some radio shows on this very topic. So I'll leave it at this, Matt. Last point, folks, if you're going to make more than $200,000 or $300,000, you've got to be talking to your tax attorney, tax accountant as soon as possible, because you can bifurcate that income. You can say, well, this income is from developing and fix and flips. This is from broker and realtor. So you can start splitting up your income, creating different buckets. So you get the 20% in one bucket, but you don't get it in another. You don't want to commingle all your apples and oranges in one bucket. A lot of times we have for years. I want one S Corp. Do your flips in one, do your realtor and broker in one. It's all in one. It's clean. But now the game's changed a little bit. So it depends on your income level. So Eric, great question. Hopefully that gets you enough to kind of wet your whistle.
Yeah. 199A. Cool. Well, we're going to have more on that too. I mean, there's still regs coming out. Even just 2 weeks ago, the IRS Treasury issued regs trying to clarify some of the strategies that some of the savvy tax attorneys and CPAs have already been spitting out.
Yeah.
So there'll be more on this obviously coming from us in the fall. But I had a question from Stephanie about professional corporations. And when do I need to use a professional corporation, PC or PLLC, if I'm a real estate agent? Is this required?
Where's Stephanie from? Do you have any?
Stephanie is in Arizona.
Okay. All right.
So, I always get the home staters. So Stephanie's in Arizona. So, and she actually has a PC already. So, so here's the answer on that. It depends.
That's why I asked where she's from. It's kind of a weird one.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. And so it really does matter where you're from, because every state does this a little differently. Now, what that is, a PC, professional corporation, or PLLC, professional limited liability company, is a it's an entity if you're a licensed professional. Certain licensed professionals have to have a PC. Matthew N. Sorensen is a PC, Matthew N. Sorensen PC, because I'm a licensed lawyer. I'll run my law firm income through there. Mark's the same thing, has a PC. So in Arizona, for Stephanie, they have some requirements on this. You would use a PC, or you could do a PLLC as a real estate agent because you're a licensed professional. But every state has a little bit different way they handle this. And it could be different from profession. Some states, like California, for example, you don't have to be a PC or PLLC in real estate. But if you're a dentist, not only are you a PC, you're a dental corporation. Yeah. You know, or if you're a doctor, you're a medical corporation. I mean, they're like hardcore on the healthcare industry. So it's very unique state to state. That's what PC PLLC is. PC you would use if you're going to do an S Corp. You could do PLLC and have it tax an LLC tax as an S Corp also. But we usually do a PC for someone who's a real estate agent. Going to be taxed as an S Corp. You're doing it because you're a licensed person. Now, if you're the contractor out there or flipper, don't stress about this. You don't need to do it, even though contractors are licensed. There's very, very, I'm not even aware of a state that even if you're a licensed contractor, you use a PC. Yeah, so just Inc. or Corp. Just keeping it
right. Now, let me add a couple amendments to that. Additions, no changes. The one thing I would say is, Stephanie, you can have a professional Corp. and do fix and flips in it too. That's okay. They just want to make sure you're at least a PC if you're a realtor or broker, but you can do flips in it. But if you're just a flipper, you can't do a PC. So it's a little tricky, and you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care about it. My whole opinion, I'm just going to be blunt, is unless the state tells you to be a PC, don't care. Don't worry about it. And you're going to find out real quick when you talk to your lawyer about, I'm a realtor in XYZ state. Do I have to be a PC? If they say no, then don't do it. Just be an Inc. Be Stephanie Real Estate Inc. It's easier. It's simpler. And who the freak cares? So,
yeah.
Okay. I got a question that's kind of on this line. This is Tom. He's up in Montana. I love that we're so culturally broad, you know, just all over the place. It's kind of exciting.
What? I missed that.
We got people from Montana.
Oh, all over. Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah, I just think that's neat. Geographically broad. Okay. I don't know if there's a cultural difference between Arizona.
We got a hot spot of clients in Montana. I don't know where they came from, but we got quite a good ones.
Yeah. It's pretty cool up there. You know, there's a number of roads that are speed limit free up there. Pretty crazy.
Wow.
It's neat. I went fishing up there the other day.
It's neat.
Yeah.
Neat. Oh, that's dad talk right there for you.
They let people do
my
that.
My kids would make fun of me if they heard me say that. That's neat. Yeah. There's no speed limit here. Isn't that neat, guys?
They would mock you for that? Yes. I'm offended. It offends my core. Okay, well, we won't get on the speed limit topic, but I got a couple jokes to go with that. We'll leave it alone. Okay, so Tom says, when do I need to become an escort? Oh, and I wanted to say that about Stephanie. Stephanie, if you're a PC, any of you out there that are a PC or a PLLC, that doesn't mean you're an S-Corp. It's an S election with the IRS. So you can be a PC or a PLLC and not an S-Corp. That's okay. They're two different things. So you say, well, I need to be an S-Corp. I can't be a PC. But you can still be a freaking S-Corp. You just make the election with the IRS. Now, Tom says, when do I have to be an S-Corp? And I kind of alluded to this earlier. Folks, a lot of my brand new realtors or brand new flippers or developers, they're just getting new into as a real estate professional. Start out as an LLC. That's okay. LLCs do not save taxes. They're there to protect you. You're doing real estate. There's a lot of potential for a lawsuit with a contractor, a subcontractor, vendor, indiscriminate people coming on your property. You want at least an LLC. Then you can convert to an S Corp. So start your LLC now in the middle of 2018. And then come January 1st, 2019, give me a call, talk to someone on my team and say, hey, here's my income projections for 19. Yeah, let's do an S election now. So you can convert an LLC into an S Corp. But once you make it an S Corp, it's on the left side of the whiteboard, people. You're not going to put rentals in it. So you can use LLCs kind of like a chameleon. An LLC can be on the right and hold rentals, or an LLC can be on the left with an S election. But once you make that S election, don't tell me you have an LLC. Just say, I got an S Corp. You know, it's just... Anyway, Tom, good question.
All right, let me go next. I had a question from Pat, actually, in Utah. Pat says, my wife and I own a LLC that has rental properties.
Oh, okay, you threw out wife and I. I didn't know Pat. It's kind of a, you know, adronymous.
Oh, yeah.
That this was is, male or female, so it's a male Pat. So Patrick.
This is that an SNL throwback there?
Yeah.
That's right. Who's that's that? Right. It's Pat, a boy or a girl. Here's me.
Yes. Oh man, I love it. Right, I showed my kids cowbell the other day. I was like, that needs more cowbell. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta see. Good. Now I can make that joke around your kids. They better appreciate the reference next time I do it.
Okay. All right. Pat in Utah says.
Okay, Patrick in Utah. Sorry. asked question says, my wife and I have a LLC that owns rental properties, and but my wife is starting to do marketing and also real estate on the side, trying to get commission income. Should we run the same income through the LLC that we are using for our rental properties?
Ooh, good question.
So now this gets into that initial thing we mentioned earlier, Pat, of we like to separate assets and operations. This is left side, right side. So you have the LLC already that owns a rental property, and you're doing that for asset protection, right? Something happens on that rental. The tenant's forced to sue the LLC. They can't come down to you personally and go after you or your wife's assets. Okay. But we don't want to start running an operational business out of there, whether it's commission income or services or whatever, because if something goes wrong in that business, they can sue that LLC and get at the property in there. We don't want to pollute that. So we would run that business. Now, if it's just small on the side, you can just be a sole proprietor. You can just have it, you know, your wife's name, whatever, you know, just sole prop. Okay. And that can run on a Schedule C on your personal tax return. Keep it easy. It's not like everybody's got to go have an entity for everything. All right. But if you start getting enough income, maybe you got 30,000 of net income from that separate activity, not counting the rental stuff. This is all separate. You may want to set up a separate S corporation to start running that commission income, other business income through. And again, keep it separate, tax differently. Don't run the operational income though through the LLC that you have for the rentals.
I like it. And I don't know if I ever gave Tom a number. I said, make an LLC and convert to an S corp. Most of our clients that are flipping properties, developing, realtor brokers, once you are netting around 40,000 a year, and this is even you in California folks that are, you know, worried about the $800 a year minimum tax, you're going to see savings when you start netting 40,000, because we can do a split on the income between your salary and the net, where we get the 199A deduction that we talked about a little bit earlier. Oh, it's just like magic. You take a salary, you keep your FICA low, you get the net, you take the 199A deduction, it all flows through. The savings is off the chart compared to just freaking doing a sole prop or an LLC. That's the power of the S Corp. Mm. And we do so many of those. And don't just go click out on LegalZoom and get your S Corp and think, oh, I'm done now. There's steps, procedures. And we set up S Corps around the country for $800. You can talk to a real tax attorney that'll build a diagram for you on the phone with you and build your plan. And you get an S Corp out of at the same time. And you'll understand all the ifs, ands, wheres, and buts. So, Tom, Patrick, great questions. All right. Now, since you brought up rental property and LLCs, I'm going to jump deep into my playbook here. I've got Chenille. She is in Illinois. And she says, Mark, how many rentals can I put in one LLC? Mm. Whew, okay. Let me take first stab at it, Matt, and then I know you'll want to add a rider on this one.
In Illinois, right?
In Illinois. Now, here's the thing. The nice thing about Illinois is they recently reduced their filing fee for LLCs in the state of Illinois.
Finally.
Oh, it was brutal. It's like $600 by the time you expedited and everything because they were so slow too. But they've really streamlined it, brought down the price. Don't know off the top of my head, but I cut it in half, I think, at least. Yeah. Also in Illinois are what's called series LLCs, which is another variation of LLCs. And so any of you out there with multiple rentals in a state that allows for series LLCs, you're going to want to look at that option. There's about 12 states now. It wasn't just Texas, Matt. Who was the one the other day that just added it? You told me who they were.
I'm embarrassed. Wyoming.
Oh, that's right.
Added the series LLC.
Yeah. She's late comers to the party. When they started the party, you know, Wyoming's were the first one to have an LLC.
Yeah.
And now they're finally bucking up and getting.
They got the series LLC now. So
yeah, that's good. So Chenille, I'll just say this, everybody's different, but when one person just starts out, I'll just do a basic, then Matt, you can take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Is that when you're just starting out, have one LLC, put one rental in it. Now, if there's not a lot of equity in your second or third property and you're just getting going, put two or three properties in one LLC. You're cool. You don't need to overdo it. Don't listen to those folks that are going to try to sell you an LLC for every rental because they're going to say it's one sheet of paper. It's cheap and easy. Just go on the state website. Just 2 weeks ago, we highlighted another article where LLCs are being pierced because people are not doing the paperwork involved with an LLC. They think one sheet of paper does it. It does not. So be careful thinking an LLC is so simple, cheap, and easy, I can just do one for every rental. And I know I'll get some hate mail on it. I'll debate it with you. I've got cases I can quote. And just why throw caution to the wind? Just buck up and do it. If the dentist says to floss, even though it's not against the law to not floss, just do it. Trust me, you'll thank me later. So go through the maintenance. But anyway, Chenille, I'd start out with one LLC, a couple rentals. Don't overdo it. Now, Matt, let's say she's getting 5, 10 rentals. What do you do? What are some options? I'll set that. I should set the table for you there.
Yeah. Well, if you're in one of those series LLC states, we love to do a series LLC in that scenario. And what you do is it's one series LLC. This could be Illinois, Texas, Nevada, Tennessee, Utah, Oklahoma. Those are all states we've done a lot of series LLCs. There's maybe 6 or 7 other states that have them, but those would be some of the more popular ones we would set them up in.
Texas.
Texas. Yeah. I think I said that, but that's okay.
Whatever.
That's all right. Texas likes being remembered. They appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you're just doing one or two properties, don't stress about the series LLC yet, but yeah, 5 to 10 range, love the series LLC. What that is, it's one LLC you file with the state, but it adopts series. So you've got series 1, series 2, series 3. Let's say you've got 5 properties, okay? And if I can put one property in each series. So series 1 has property number 1. Series 2 has property number 2. And so on. Now, if something goes wrong on the property in series 1, tenant slips and falls, they try to sue me. Well, they can get only to series 1. They can't get to the main LLC. They can't get over to everything else. So it's only that one property that's subject to the risk of the in that series. If I just had a regular LLC with 5 properties in it, something went wrong on property number 1, that plaintiff could sue the LLC and all the equity in all 5 of my properties is at risk now. So the concept of the series LLC is something that allows you to separate out your assets and protect them from the liability against each other. It's kind of like not putting all your eggs in one basket type concept. So we're spreading the risk out amongst the series. Now, of course, if you're not in a series LLC state, you've got lots of equity in properties. We like to say more than 200,000 of equity in multiple properties. You could do separate LLCs for each property. And just, you know, you could have five LLCs and you could have five properties. But we'd only do that if there was at least 200,000 of equity in each property where it made sense to, the cost of an LLC was worth it.
Yeah. Now I'm going to, I love it. Now I'm going to take it to another level. We're going to go deep into the menu here.
Yeah.
And throw out another playbook strategy here. You can add a parent company LLC. This is very common with our more seasoned long-term real estate investors. And this is why we did the show. Matt and I actually talked about, are we going to do a show on real estate professionals and field some of these questions on rentals? And we said, yeah, because a lot of our real estate professionals own rentals. They right. want, they need this info. So if some of you are like, well, I thought this was just about realtors and flippers. No, what are you going to buy? You're going to buy rentals. So, okay. So deep into the playbook here, when you get 10 or more rentals, and let's say at least $1 million worth of equity floating around. I was on a phone call today with a client that has $9 million in real estate equity, about 15 properties. I was walking through the grocery store talking to him. He's like, yep, pull the trigger. I need three more LLCs. I'm like, all right, done. And we got a little master diagram. He's stoked. And when we do multiple LLCs for people, we do them at half off. I mean, we'll work a price point for you here. We're not trying to, you know, kill you. So anyway, so what we do is we have a parent LLC, and that's when we might use what's called COPE entities, charging order protection entities, like a Wyoming, a Utah, maybe Nevada. They're so darn expensive down, a pain in the butt. I get the same protection or better in Utah and Wyoming, even New Mexico. But I'm going to go with a holding company that's simple and easy to work with that could hold those five LLCs. So the example Matt just gave of five LLCs with $1 million of equity, that may be good for now. But you get to the next level, just a few more properties. I think you tip the scale, and we're going to kind of put you in our platinum type level, you know, where it's like time to have a holding company. And then all the LLCs are, so it kind of acts like a series, but it's better.
Yeah.
But we know some companies recommend that to people right out of the gate. And we think just this is ridiculous. It's ripping people off. But
yeah. And that's one thing I was going to say is a lot of this planning is, you know, while some of it's kind of plug and play, so to speak, it's very specific to your situation and the states that you're in and that your properties are in. Yeah. So you got to be careful with that. And the best way to get it set up right is to consult with a lawyer. If it's, you know, not us, then consult with someone that knows what the heck they're doing in this area. And be careful for the one-size-fits-all strategy that's overkill. It's sad. A lot of times when we see someone that's gone out there and done it themselves, they've done too much. Yeah. And rather than not doing enough, they did too much and kind of messed things up more than they helped. Or they went to some non-lawyer, did it online, or got a, you know, some seminar back of the room package that was ridiculous. So just be careful about that. Now I got another question that came from Scott and Monica, at least by email, from Aurora, Colorado. And their question was about they have an S corporation which they use for their fix and flip properties, but they're starting to do business with a partner. And they have a question about how, whether to add the partner to the S-Corp and how they should operate with a partner in some fix and flip properties.
I've got a phone call tomorrow at 10 a.m. with a client from Texas dealing with this.
So this is tricky. Now, here's what I'd say for Scott and Monica. If you guys are already doing your own thing in your S-Corp, you already have your own deals going that's separate from this partner, we don't want to bring that partner into the S-Corp because then they're going to be involved in the same stuff you're in.
Leave it alone.
Reconnect. So what we like to do,
sorry, color commentary is on. Yeah.
So what we like to do is let's take your S corp and let's partner it into a new LLC that the partner is in, and maybe your new partner has their own S corp, or it's just them personally.
Loving it.
That was too many. is this just getting you hot and bothered right now?
I'm loving it. You're like, you take it. Take it all the way, baby.
Love all it. Right. Okay. All right. So we got your S corp, Scott and Monica. I'm sorry. Mark Kohler just gets me, you know.
Yeah.
So now we're going to partner with your partner in a new LLC. That LLC is just for this partnership stuff you're going to do together. Yes, it's going to cause you a partnership tax return in that new entity, but there's a number of reasons we want to do that. One, we want to separate this out from the other stuff you're doing for liability purposes. Also, we don't want to add in your partner into the stuff you guys are already doing and mess that up and make it more confusing. Let's get a new clean entity. Let's get an operating agreement for the LLC that defines who's doing what and who's getting what. We want to have a tight partnership agreement, which is essentially what your LLC operating agreement is. And we want to have that separate liability, separate treatment of those properties and assets. You'll have a separate bank account for that you'll each, of course, have access to. And there's so much to say about partnerships, but just from the big picture and your question, don't add them into your existing S-Corp. Let's piece off a little partnership entity, generally an LLC, for that new venture with the partner.
I love it. Sorry, and I know I was kind of around adding too much color commentary, but I was having fun. But it really, seriously, I love Matt's answer because you save so much more in taxes. You have so much more flexibility. You get better protection. You can isolate your strategies. And let me just give one example. You put your partner in your S-Corp, but you won't both want to take the home office right off. Now it's all jacked up. So you have your S-Corp, you write off your teenagers, your kids. I had my daughter Molly here today shredding paper. Matt doesn't want to pay for that. I pay for it out of my S-Corp. You know, Matt's kids are helping him in his local area of the business. You know, he's going to write off his home office. He's going to write off a trip somewhere and take a class and write it off. I don't want to pay for that. So anyway, this is the beauty in a partnership structure where each of you can be your own S-Corp, whether you're brokers, your developers, your realtors, your flippers. Have your own S-Corp and then partner with others when it's ordinary income. Well stated, my friend. Excellent. Okay. All right. This is Cindy out in Hawaii. You got to get a Hawaii client.
Yeah, baby. Woo! Aloha.
I know. I love my Hawaii clients. They're so nice. Somebody think I go there because it's beachy, warm, and beautiful, and all that is true, but the people are what make Hawaii amazing. I'm not kidding, and I just mean that. They're so friendly, so kind. So Cindy says, of course, what's she going to bring up when it comes to real estate? And she's in Hawaii. Starts with V. We got the VRBO, the Airbnb. Yep, it's going to be a big deal.
I was a little behind on that one.
I know. It's like, come on. I get so many calls from clients that are doing it. Because vacation property, a big deal in Hawaii. Now, this is everywhere, of course, VRBO and Airbnb. And her question is, Mark, do I have to run my VRBO and Airbnb through an S-Corp? Great question, right? You would think, it's short-term rental. I'm doing it a lot. Should I run it through my S-Corp?
Yeah, kind of like a hotel.
Yeah, kind of. That's the key word, kind of. IRS actually came out with some regs on this and some guidance this last year. And it's kind of a big deal. So the simple answer is no. 95% of the time, the answer is going to be no. Your Airbnb and VRBO income is going to go through your LLC on the right side. You're going to hold this asset. It's going to have equity. Just
like any other rental property.
Just like any other rental.
Yeah.
And don't think because it's Airbnb, short-term rental, you've got to jack it up and move it over to your S-Corp side. Leave it on the LLC side. And the reason why... the IRS says, so long as you're not providing concierge daily housekeeping services, you can keep it on the right side. It's passive because they come in for 5 days, you leave them alone, they leave, you go clean. That's cool. It used to be a big analysis when it came to the number of days, and accountants would freak out and say it's subject to self-employment tax. There was a lot of misunderstanding out there. The position we've taken is, And there's some guidance on this, is that you can keep it on an LLC side, consider it passive, because you're not going in every day and changing the towels and acting like a hotel. You're not putting breath mints on the countertop and chocolates on the pillows and doing a turn down service. You're just letting the people come in and use it and leave, whether it's 1 day or 6 days or 16 days. So, Cindy, I mean, we could get into this Airbnb and VRBO. And right now, Hawaii is under some major state legislative debate as to if they're going to allow these rental properties everywhere. It's getting out of control. It's everywhere. Airbnbs and VRBOs are just everywhere. The hotels are up in arms. It's a big, big debate in Hawaii right now, if some of you didn't know that. There's a volcano, whatever. You know. There's a hurricane recently.
Well, yeah.
It's all about the Airbnb and VRBO. That's where the
Yeah, that's the talk on the street, huh? Okay.
We're just telling you a little inside loop. That's locals. That's locals.
That's what the locals are talking about. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, and I know that that was, you know, we had advice clients for a while as short-term rentals were getting hot, even in 2012 and 13. We started seeing it and the advent of Airbnb and VRBO. It was how you kind of be careful and put it on this left side, S Corp side. So that was actually really good news from the IRS a year or so ago. But be careful about the cleaning. I have to say that's the one I think that some people, a lot on, you know, if they rent weekly, they might have a mid-weekly cleaning or something like that. Just skip that. Get rid of it. Stop doing that. Charge a little less in rent if you need to, because that mid-weekly cleaning is going to push you over to having to do it, throw it through the S Corp and self-employment tax, and it just ain't worth it.
No, you're good.
All right. Well, how much more time we got, Mark? We got time for another question or two?
Yeah. Why don't you take a question? I'll do one more and we'll call the time of death, as they say on ER.
All right. I saved the best for last. This is Rob from Texas, who asked about self-directing. Yes, specifically actually about a SEP IRA, which I gave a tip to earlier, but says, I use a SEP IRA for saving for my retirement. And I'd like to self-direct those funds. Can I self-direct with a SEP IRA? Mm. Now, Rob, of course, knows this, the self-direction that which we're talking about all the time. And for many of you who don't know what it is, this is, and I kind of gave a little teaser on it earlier too, is you can use your retirement plan dollars that's already in your IRA, whether it's your SEP IRA at TD Ameritrade or at Merrill Lynch, you can use that account. You need to move to a self-directed IRA custodian and can invest those dollars into real estate. And this is one thing, and this is kind of my stump speech. I speak all over the country to real estate professionals, and I get in front of a group of people and I say, and I'm going to ask you all this that are listening right now, the real estate professionals. How many of you have retirement accounts? If you're sitting there listening right now, you have a retirement account. Okay. Yes, you do. All right. Do you own mutual funds? You probably do. Can you tell me a good mutual fund? You probably can't. But how many of you can tell me a good real estate investment? You probably can. Why are you investing your dollars in a mutual fund? You hate it. You don't like it. The fees are ridiculous. And you're not good at it. You're guessing, right? But you just want to be in the market. And so what we're, lots of what we're teaching and what we want you to do is to invest in what you know. And if you're a real estate professional, that's your game. I think you should be investing your retirement in it. Now, self-directing is not for everyone, but it's for someone, dang it. And for those that know alternative investments and assets like real estate, if you can call that alternative, I think you should really look at self-directing. So, but yes, you could self-direct the SEP, Rob. You can self-direct a traditional, a Roth. We can do solo Ks, as we mentioned earlier. Crap, you can self-direct an HSA, a Coverdell, all those different types of accounts can be self-directed and invested into real estate. And basically what we're saying there is you're just investing in something you think you can get a better return. I'm not talking about getting tax write-offs or anything. I'm just talking about it from just a, how can I grow my account? How can I get better returns? Well, invest in what you know. Invest in what you can get a better return at. Again, think of LeBron James. He's not betting money on playing ping pong, okay? He's making money playing what he's good at. Why aren't you doing the same thing with your dollars?
Yeah. I like it. I thought you said betting money. If you say playing, he's not betting money on ping pong. He's...
Well, either one. I mean,
I don't think he's betting on basketball either. That you put the NCAA.
Well, I mean, he's set his career and his, you know, all of his finances off of that. You know, he's not walking into work every day doing, you know, what he loves, working at, you know, his pet restaurant project.
Well, I'm just teasing you. I love your point. Absolutely, people, do what you know. It's so good. So just messing around with you. Okay, last question. And you know what? I'm going to say I got to bring up one side tip. One of our tax attorneys came into my office today and he was like, Mark, can I transfer the rental property in my IRA to my 401k? And I said, yeah, I know you can. I've heard Matt talk about it. I just don't know how. Get Matt on the phone, you know? And that's the depth of our, you know, bench here as I go. But that was a deep one too. I thought that, you know, if we're going to go deep in the playbook, you can actually take rentals in your IRA, Matt, and put them in your 401k. I don't know how to do it. Is there something?
Yeah, if you had let's say you did a solo 401k, you already had a self-directed IRA, you could transfer, it's just an in-kind transfer, instead of like transferring the cash or rolling over the cash, you roll over the asset itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's forms for that. We can help you with it. Just let us know.
Gosh, make it sound so easy. Okay. So this is a question, and the person said, please don't use my name. And so, because you're going to love this.
This is going to be a good question.
Yeah. They're going.
And they're, is this a juicy one?
Well, it's not that juicy.
No. Oh, okay. All right.
I wish, but this is a family-friendly show. They said, Mark, we just recently went to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, and we took an afternoon to go look at some rental properties. Can we write off our trip to Myrtle Beach? Now, of course, that's an aggressive kind of tax question, so maybe that's why they don't want their name used, but I love it. So I have not been to Myrtle Beach. Apparently, it's beautiful this time of year. And they wanted to go shopping for real estate. So I get this question a lot over the years from workshops around the country. Folks will say, hey, Mark, I went looking for rentals. I went to Hawaii, or I went here, Puerto Rico, blah, blah, blah. Can I write off my trip? Here's the deal. The IRS has been very clear. You cannot write off your trip shopping for rental property. So you real estate professionals out there, you're seeing deals all the time. You're like, hey, we went to a football game. We went here. We went there. We went to visit grandma, and I looked at some rentals. Can I write off the trip? So the rule is you can't, but here's a couple strategies. What I told my clients is, hey, if you really did look at rentals and you go back down there before the end of the year and make a legitimate offer, where I'd love it if you bought one before the end of the year, I'll write off both trips because it resulted in an acquisition. It actually resulted in a business transaction. So it wasn't just this fly by night, you know, may have flown during the day, but you know, they say fly by night trip, you know, where you're just kind of looking for rentals, and really it was just a disguised write off to go to Myrtle Beach. So folks, if you want to go shop for rentals, just make an acquisition. What I say is travel, buy rentals where you like to go. If you can make them work financially, I don't want you to buy a loser just because, but it is a great move to buy rentals where you travel. Because now all those trips are going to be at least in part, if not entirely, depending on how long you go, a write-off of travel, hotel, dining, airfare, rental cars, Uber, valet. Oh my gosh, so much you could write off related to maybe a little trip to check on your rental company. Mm. So,
I like it. Get out there, everyone. Go see America. You know,
internationally
even. I mean, doesn't have to.
Yeah,
it's about America.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody for being with us, of course, for another amazing hour of Refresh Your Wealth. Did you have any final comments, Mark, before I sign us off? I'm just, you know.
No, you can take us out. I thanks everybody for listening. I want to say thanks to our listeners. It really is humbling to see these types of questions come in from around the country, from a really kind of a relatively humble start in a little country town in southern Utah 15, 20 years ago. We had a dream, and we're living it, and we love it, and it's hard. Matt and I were just talking about, I mean, it's 11:30 where Matt's at right now. He's traveling around the country, working hard. I had a 2:30 a.m. work night last week. We're kicking our butts too, people, and we know it's hard, and I'm just grateful that many of you take the time to listen in your commute and listen to our podcast. Please share it with others if it's inspiring you at all. It really is. It means a lot to us. We really are sharing our passion, and it's so fun. I'm having such a fun time.
Yeah. No, I love getting on here and talking about this stuff and thinking of how to answer your questions and trying to keep it simple and not overcomplicate it, as I sometimes like to do. But thanks, of course. And of course, we got some new shows we'll be announcing. Make sure you're signed up for the newsletter. You can get that at refreshyourwealth.com. We're announcing new shows. We got blog articles obviously coming out, updates on all the stuff we're up to, where you can connect with us on social media. So please, the best place to learn more. Yes.
Yeah, and before the music starts to take us out, I'm trying to, as you may know, I think I'm trying to get Chip Gaines to come on our show. So anybody that knows Chip from Fixer Upper, I mean, we are a fan of Chip. And I've emailed him personally. I'm like, dude, you got to come on the show just for 15 minutes. For any of you real estate professionals out there, us guys, I know you ladies, you're a big Magnolia fan. She's amazing. I know, but Chip, that's us. Man, he's like all man. He's a stud.
So if someone knows Chip, you know, you got a hookup for us.
Yeah.
You let us know.
Send him a text.
Side track.
Yeah. Let him know we're speaking his praises. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's eBooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.